This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
G-Bag Nation, Radio Row here in New Orleans, and this is a special opportunity here as we're kind of nosebleed seats take over the G-Bag Nation here. It's Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, along with Clint Sterner, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, the same station that our old radio partner, Reginald Atitula, now is
That's
working
right.
with. Now, I got to say, Clint, you are a former Arkansas Razorback, Dallas Cowboy, phenomenal radio host. But apparently these chef skills that you have,
Ooh.
I've been seeing all over Reg's Instagram so far. You're getting up in the morning cooking for all the boys?
Well, chef is a pretty strong title right there. Truth of the matter is, man, I got a one-year-old and a three-year-old at the house. I do evening radio. So the only time I get with my wife and my two kids is breakfast.
Yeah.
So breakfast is my thing.
Okay.
And I've got the cheese and eggs and the right spices in there along with the bacon. You got to put it in there about 20 minutes, guys, 400, about 20 minutes.
Okay.
Slightly burnt. That's don't
nice.
Overdo it.
Nice. Good crunch.
And make sure you got a good avocado in there.
Love it.
No brown spots. Get the seed out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get the stem out, right? I got all that stuff down. So I thought, hey, I'm 47 now. It's about time I pull a little bit of my own weight here when I go on a boys' trip and we got 10 guys in a house. I feel like I ought to do a little bit of cooking somewhere along the way.
No, you're right, and I hope my wife's not listening because I got a one-year-old now at home, too, baby girl, and she's going to say, hey, you should do the same thing in the morning. So
there you
go ahead and take care of us. I probably should. I probably should make strides in that area.
Hey, well, call me, man. I can help you in that department for sure.
One-year-old and three-year-old at 47.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, I held out as long as I could, boys.
That's that low T center stamina, huh?
Hey, yeah, low T center means a little more to you, boy.
Yeah.
Low T means a little more to you, boy, right here. Yeah, man. Look, I ran the streets, as many folks in Dallas know. I ran the streets, had a great time for a little bit longer than most. It took me a little longer to grow up and get responsible and get a real job. But boy, I found the right one, man, and it was easy to say, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I knew, hey, she was young enough to where it was like, it's time to have some kids.
Right. Let's go.
And here we go. Got two baby girls, both of them baby girls, man. So I absolutely love it, man.
Hey, he's got the baby girl. I got three baby girls.
Come on,
you got
man.
Two. So
all girl dads.
We're doing
right.
it, man.
We're going to keep the world going, boys. There ain't no doubt about that.
We're in this thing together.
So we do want to talk some Houston Texans with you,
yeah.
but I do want to revisit your time with the Dallas Cowboys. We are the home of Dallas Cowboys football, and you were with, it certainly was a challenging time then. Brian Broaddus was one of the scouts. He's on
Absolutely.
Our show with us, and he doesn't speak great about that. He's like, man, we effed up so many damn things.
Sure.
It was insane. But what stands out to you when you think back about your time with
the
Cowboys?
Well, first of all, I appreciate Broaddus making those mistakes. And the organization making the mistakes because it ended up with me being there getting a shot. let's be honest. Look, I was with the program, with the organization in some very, very dysfunctional years, some down years. We were 5-11 all 3 years. But lucky for me, you know, I caught the tail end of some Hall of Fame careers, with Larry Allen and Emmitt Smith and obviously Troy Aikman. I mean, I shared a quarterback room with Troy Aikman and Randall Cunningham at one point, and then little old me. I don't know what. Tell me who didn't belong, right, boys?
Yeah.
But I mean, look, man, it was a dream come true for me to get the opportunity to play. I think one really good thing about my experience there, and I joke about, you know, socially, you know, some of the streets I ran and the hunting that I did in the city of Dallas. But the reality of it is I never took it too serious, right? I mean, I knew that I was on borrowed time. you know, I knew I was renting that locker. I wasn't going to be the next guy that was going to play for 20 years and was never going to be taken real serious in terms of getting the opportunity. And so I was able to soak it all up and, again, probably too much soak it all up, but enjoy it. And man, it was a great place to play. I could only imagine what the years are like when, you know, nowadays they're winning 11 or 12 games, mm-hmm. or back in the day when Emmitt and them boys were winning Super Bowls. I can only imagine how the city treated, you know, those players at that point in time, because we were 5-11 and they treated us like kings, man. So it was a hell of a time, there's no doubt.
Man, you mentioned Larry Allen.
Yep.
Is it true about the snuff he used to keep in his sock or whatever?
For whatever reason, Larry Allen was one of those guys that didn't talk to many people, but he took to me. I don't know why. I don't know why, but he took to me. He would actually talk to me. And I mean, we'd go to lunch during training camp, right? And it was one of those. It was a quiet lunch. He paid about a $1,300 tab at the Palm one day. Me and him. Yeah, Louis the 14th, Louis the 18th, whatever the drink is. You know, he'd have two shots of those. It's 14, right? He'd have two shots of those, and I thought, well, one's for me. He said, no, one for him and another one for his cigar. I said, okay, well, I'll just take a steak then. But, yeah, for whatever reason, L.A. took to me and liked me and kind of kept me around. I could tell some other stories maybe off the air. But one of the best ones is I'm walking out of the facility one time. This is before the Star, obviously, but I'm walking out of the facility one time, and Larry always parked his car underneath the pavilion right there by the walkway, which everybody else parked in the parking lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so he would park his car there. We had a Ferrari, and I said, that's LA's, you know. And I walk by it, and I look over there, and I'm like, man, the passenger seat is nasty, man. What the hell is that? You know, so I'm going out there looking at him, like, man, what the hell is that? I said, LA. He said, yeah. I said, man, what in the hell is in the passenger seat of that Ferrari you got out there? He said, I don't have a spit cup. I just spit in the passenger seat floor.
Oh, no. I swear to God.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Oh, my gosh, Larry.
A Ferrari. I mean, at that time, $250,000 car, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding
That's
me.
Zero F's given.
That's it.
And I respect that. How is a quarterback room with Troy Aikman? Because we've seen clips where he will just rip people to shreds.
Yeah, look, Troy was really good to me personally, even better than I thought he was at the time. I mean, he was in a rough patch at the end of his career. Things weren't going right, and he wasn't the happiest of individuals. I don't think him and Randall saw eye to eye a lot of the time, to be honest with you. Randall took to me in that quarterback room because, you know, Troy had obviously Wade Wilson, and Troy had some other guys that were there that he had been with forever. Del Hellestray, the mm-hmm. deep snapper, and some of those guys. Bill Bates was on the coaching staff. And so, you know, Randall kind of took to me, which kind of split the room a little bit. But Troy was awfully quiet to himself. Looking back on it, obviously, I understand now, like, hey, man, he was in a spot where he was trying to see if he could get one more good Super Bowl run, and it wasn't going. Joey Galloway to replace mm-hmm. Michael Irvin, and Emmitt's hanging on for dear life, trying to get that record kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't work out. So Troy wasn't the happiest of all. But I tell you, one of the cool things about Troy was two things. One, my rookie year, he didn't make me the rookie hazing thing, right? Hazing wasn't much of a thing with us anyway. But then it was one of those, hey, we're gonna go to dinner and you're gonna pick up the tab. Well, Troy was like, hey, man, you're obviously a rookie. I'm gonna pick this tab up. And then when I made the team, Troy gave me all his suits, all his old suits, and his hand-me-down. So I had Aikman suits, and he was picking up dinner tabs, baby. I was rocking and rolling.
You're hanging out with Larry Allen.
Hanging out with Emmitt and Darren Woodson were really, really good to me, man. And so it was pretty cool, man. But then Troy, when I got cut in Dallas, I just thought I was done. You know, like I said, I'm renting time in the league. I was never somebody thought I was going to be there forever.
Self-aware.
Yeah, well, I like think so, right? Yeah. I don't know if it's a good idea for my career or not, but I was. But anyway, when I got cut, the Dolphins called me and picked me up. And so I get out there, and it was back when Greasy stubbed his toe supposedly on a curb or on a step or something, which I don't know what happened. Maybe some booze involved somewhere. But nonetheless, I get there, and they're like, hey, man, you know why you're on our radar and why we brought you in? I said, no. He said, Troy Aikman picked the phone up and called Norv Turner and told Norv, hey, man, look, I don't know what you're looking for, but if you're looking for a third-string guy that knows the terminology, knows the offense, can get you in and out of a huddle, Troy told us, you know, he vouched for you.
Man.
And I thought, boy, I thought a lot of people in that room would vouch for me in terms from a player perspective.
Yeah.
Troy would have been the last, right? To think that was behind.
Well, that speaks to you, though, and your character and
well, it was. I mean, it meant a lot. Now, I didn't stick in Miami. It did get me a trip to NFL Europe, another trip to NFL Europe, though.
There you
go, baby. Got me 2+ months in Amsterdam, which, hey, I don't know.
Hey, I've heard good things.
Hey, I bet the hunt was real out there.
It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard.
It wasn't hard.
The hunt.
Low T Center, big shout
That's
out
right.
again.
That's right, baby.
Clint Sterner, unbelievable, with us here on The Fan, former Cowboys quarterback, Houston radio host. When you look back at your career professionally, you're talking about these times with Troy Aikman, these moments with Larry Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, do you look back at those professional years as the most fun of the years in the NFL? What do you...
Yeah, definitely the most fun of the years in the NFL because it was when I was actually with a team. You know, I bounced around the Dolphins for 2 years, but it was more practice squad. And other than being, you know, Junior Seau took to me there. I don't know why, but you know, God bless his soul. Junior was a dude that, I mean, you know, going to, back in the day, the MTV Music Awards, mm-hmm. and at noon, he's like, hey, Clint.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, man, you want to roll with me to MTV? Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Junior, let's ride. So I get a limo with a few of us, and we head to the MTV Music Awards, end up hanging out with Rodman and stuff like that. Like, so those are really cool. But the Dallas years, being a Texas kid, dad was a big Cowboy fan. I was obviously aware of the success that Emmitt and Troy and company had. And so that was no doubt the highlight in terms of looking back on my career. But one part you guys will appreciate is – it's going to be hard for me from a quality of life, being single, mm-hmm. you know, in your mid to late 20s. It's hard to beat the Desperado years. You know, I spent a year with the Dallas Desperados after I got cut for the last time in Miami. I came back and Jerry signed me to the Desperados. Will McClay was the head coach.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it was really cool because they just gave me number 12 when I got there. And I was like, Why do I have number 12? Come to find out, Jerry and him had ordered a bunch of Staubach numbers, essentially. You know, all the emblems, everything mimicked the Cowboys, mm-hmm. the star, and you know this. Well, so he gives me 12. So you got a white jersey with 12 on the chest. Well, they're trying to empty the basement of all the Staubach numbered jerseys, right?
No doubt.
Any way that they can. Well, then Jerry takes me and puts me on the side of the bus, all the city buses, with billboards, and so
superstar,
hey, Chief. I'm working from 8 to noon. I'm in Primo's by about 1. Right? I mean, damn near every day. I mean, I catch the tail end of happy hour, the tail end of lunch, and the beginning of happy hour every day. And I was on the back of bus. Everybody thought I had billions of dollars. And I was like, damn. Yeah, I mean, this is good. This is good life right
That's
here.
Every,
half the town still looked at me and was like, oh, that old boy played for the Cowboys. Well, not quite anymore, but I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Hey, that's back in the candle room. All the listeners out there. Candle room days, Primo's. I tell you, still Javier's, my number one favorite restaurant in the world, man. Everybody I put on Javier's in Dallas. Rhett Lashley, the head coach at SMU right
Great
now.
Great guy.
Ask him, hey, how'd you find out about Javier's? He's going to tell you. But I sent him there, and I called my boy Manny and Eddie and them boys at Javier's. I said, hey, man, Rhett's going to come in there. This was before SMU blew up.
Yeah.
I said, Rhett's going to come in there, man, take care of you. Rhett's sending me pictures in there up with my guys, man.
That's
awesome.
I
tell you, man, Dallas is a great city. But those years playing arena ball in Dallas, and I played 2 years in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
right? And
That's a fun time.
And that was Nashville before – it went nuts, right? I mean, it was when Broadway, only one side of it was developed with bars. The other side was condemned buildings and people trying to put condos and stuff over there before it turned into, you know, a two-sided street.
Yeah.
And so it was nasty. I mean, Nashville was – I mean, I'm a beer drinking country music listening to, you know, hunting son of a gun, boy, yeah. especially back in them days. And so, yeah, we had a good time, man. So I would probably say – from a football perspective, it's hard to beat, you know, Emmitt and Darren Woodson and Rocket Ishmael, Joey Galloway, Larry Allen. It's hard to beat that, but well, I had some pretty damn good years in that Arena League too, man.
So what's going on with Houston? The C.J. Stroud-Bobby Slowick dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, what fell apart there?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was a guy that I'm a film guy,
yeah.
right? I don't get into the advanced stats and the analytics, all this kind of stuff. I try to stay away from that and try to just watch the film and say, what am I seeing? And for me, there was a real resistance to change, right? I mean, we're 8 or 9 weeks into the season and in year two,
yeah.
and Bobby Slowick's still trying to sell to all of us that, hey, you know, it's a new year. Every year's a new year. We've got new personnel. We don't really know what our identity is going to be. We're still trying to figure that out and, you know, this kind of deal. And meanwhile, CJ's the most pressured quarterback in the league.
Right.
And it's just basic, you know, tackle DN twists that are getting, that are beating guys that you're paying $10 million, guys that you drafted in the first round. You know, guys that are making $22 million and got a C on their chest and are viewed as the best, you know, pass blocking tackles in the game, right? And you're just thinking, this is, something's not right here. So I didn't know exactly what or why, but I knew it was going to be strange, just because when there's not change, right? It's one thing to change and the change not work, but it's another thing to just, for 8 or 9 weeks, you're going, these guys just have to execute. These guys just have to execute. We're close. These guys, hey, man. You're doing the same stuff over and over again and getting your ass whooped. You know, we got to adjust here. Mm-hmm. And it was a lack of that. Now that Bobby's gone, you know how the game works. Bobby leaves and people start talking. And now apparently there was a rift between C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick from the jump, something back at the combine, which I don't know. I think that's probably being embellished a little bit, but I do think there's some truth to it, mm-hmm. which is to any level, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think in that building there was a rift between those two. And you know when the going's good and everybody's up for – you know, rookie of the year, you're leading the league in yards per game passing. You're leading the league in touchdown interception ratio. Everything's gravy. But when that adversity hits is when all of a sudden you start having problems. And I don't think they handle adversity very well on the offensive side of the football. And again, that falls at the feet of Bobby Slowick. I believe I'm the one that says it falls at the feet of C.J. Stroud as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of those guys got, at some point, C.J. Stroud's got to take the team over like mm-hmm. all the greats do. So yeah, it's a hard one to put your finger on, because there were so, like, they had the tight end Dalton Schultz is as soft as I've ever seen,
and we know that firsthand.
But bro, it's not even just like, hey, he's just not a physical dude. Like, there is a disinterest in you know, delivering any kind of blow whatsoever.
He doesn't want to block. Yeah,
but
he
it's beyond. Don't
it's
want
embarrassing.
To. Yes. Like I don't know how they watch film and go, hey, we're gonna run this guy back out there next week. Like, I don't know how you watch film and do that, right? Right. But it wasn't just Dalton. You got receivers that are running. We got dig routes mm-hmm. with cut splits running the same depth together. You know, you got receiver issues. You got tight end issues. You got the quarterbacks, you know, regressing and
no accountability. It
yeah,
sounds
none,
like, right?
None. There's no dog in them. You know, there's no. You know, I said it before. Like, if the offensive lineman that I played with, go back to Larry Allen. Like, if even the years we were winning five games, if we couldn't run the football, Emmitt Smith and Larry Allen were irate. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't sleep at night. They were, and we went in five games. Now you can argue Emmitt's chasing the record, so there's a little bit more to it there. But, you know, these guys that can't run the football, no big deal, man. We just take the week off because my thumb's injured, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't pass protect your quarterback. You don't even turn around and help him up. You know, you just keep on moving on. So it's you know, you could, from the outside looking in, you're looking at it like, something's not right. This isn't winning football. Mm-hmm. Very talented. They did a great job with the roster. They're going to win 9 or 10 again this year, playing a poor division. So they're going to be back in the playoffs. But as y'all know, as you know, in Dallas, you can win 10 to 12 games. And when you get in the playoffs, if you can't manage the clock down the stretch when you get a 30-yard game, mm-hmm. right, get the ball spotted and clock it, right, that's going to get you beat. Right, you're not going to have sustained success when those things are happening, and that's just a small example that happened in Dallas. It happens everywhere. It's just, you got, when you're up against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, and they're working on a fourth quarter, we got one play from the 10 to win the game. What are we going to do? And they've got three to pick from. They're trying to perfect it. Right, situational football right. to the nines, mm-hmm. and we're over here going, hey, how do we protect the quarterback? Like, you're not going to win.
No,
you're
not. It's elementary.
You can't start. It's it. You're not going to win, and so that's where the Texans are right now. They're going to consistently win 9 or 10, maybe 11 games. They're going to play on the road in the playoffs, and in the AFC, you got to go through some absolute monsters, players and coaches. And until they get those little things right, man, they're going to have a hard time winning.
Okay, Clint Sterner with us here on the Fan. I know we got to get you out of here. Were you a Blue 42 guy, Cadence?
I was a White 80.
White 80.
Okay, I love it.
White 80. Wide 80. Hut, hut. My cadence was strong.
Damn,
back
that was
in
a
the
good
day,
hard
boy.
Cadence, bro.
My cadence was strong.
The inflection
back in the
on the hut.
White 17. White 17 was another one.
White 17.
Yep.
Okay.
It was. I was a white or black guy. There was no. Some guys would try to use purple and all that kind of stuff. You obviously mm-hmm. couldn't use red and green because they were typically hot and go numbers. So colors. Okay. But yeah, I was a white 80, black 80, white 17. Those were my color number combos right there.
Okay, you get to pick one coach for the biggest game. You get Steve Spagnuolo or you get Dick Fangio. Who's your choice?
Spagnuolo, without a doubt.
Let's go.
I love it.
Without a doubt.
Clint Sterner, ladies
You're
and gentlemen.
Brother. Thank you so much. Shout out to Low T Center as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Low T Center, baby.
Let's
Fighting
go.
Father Time. Come on now. Hey, know your number,
your
fellas.
T-levels. No. Your T-levels ain't in question.
Your T-levels are right, baby.
Let's go. Come
on. I got some dads. You bring them dads home.
Come on. There he is, Clint Sterner.
Thanks,
with
Clint.
Us here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, homie.
All right, boys. Y'all be good.